Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. Little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we are going to have the second part of our interview with Mr. Jose Raymond, where we are going to continue doing our Mr. Olympia predictions. And we did this last year with Jose, and I really enjoyed it. So last week on the show, we talked to Jose about the Mr. Olympia, and we also talked about the Arnold Classic, which I'm going to talk about in a second. And so this part of the show, we're going to talk about the 212 division, the 212 bodybuilding, and we're also going to talk about the Classic Physique division. So Jose is going to talk about those two classes and give his predictions on who he thinks is going to win the Mr. Olympia, which will be next weekend, October 7th through 10th in Orlando, Florida. So it's a little bit earlier this year. Of course, last year they had to push it back to December because of COVID. So this year it's more along its normal time, which is usually September, October. So I will be going to that. I'm very, very excited. I'll be out there from Thursday to Sunday. And if you caught our interview last week with Dan Solomon, it looks like they got a lot of new things planned. So I'm really excited for it. I was there last year, and I was really excited last year to be there doing the backstage interviews, and I will be doing that again this year. So hope you guys can catch it. If you don't make it out there to Orlando, try to check out the pay-per-view. And if you do check out the pay-per-view, you'll be able to see me doing my backstage interviews. So plus a lot of other things, of course. They're going to have Lee Haney there. They're going to have Rich Gaspari doing commentary, Lee Labrada, Sean Ray. So it's going to be an all-star Legends of Bodybuilding lineup. So it's really going to be awesome. And they're going to have an expo this year, where last year I think they only had like 30 booths. This year they got more like the 100 to 120 booths they usually have. So it should be fun. So I will definitely report to you guys what happened at the Mr. Olympia the week after. Yeah, check that out. OlympiaProductions.com is where you get the pay-per-view. And if you're going to go out there and want to get tickets, you can still get them at MrOlympia.com. Before we get to that, I want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. They have offices all over the United States, but they can work with anybody in the continental United States just through their website. Tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they'll give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. All right, so last weekend they had the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio, and this is usually held in March, but because of COVID, they had to push it back. They did not have their huge expo, and they also did not have all the other sporting events that they usually have. For those of you who don't know, the Arnold Classic features more sports than the Olympics do. I think it's twice as many sports as the Olympics. It's crazy. And the expo is like the biggest sports expo in North America with over 700 booths. So none of that took place this year. They only had four divisions. They had open men's bodybuilding. They had classic physique. They had fitness, and they also had bikini. So in the classic physique division, Terrence Ruffin was the winner, and he beat out Alex Cambonero. And last year it was reversed. Alex was the winner and Terrence was second. A lot of people thought Terrence should have won last year. And then Terrence ended up taking second at the Olympia, which was really great. So it was good to see him come in and win again. He had a fantastic routine. And they gave out a $10,000 Best Poser Award. And Logan Franklin, who's from Texas, who's really developing his physique really nicely in this division. He used to do men's physique, and now he is really building up, and he's got some great poses. He looks like a lot like Arnold in a lot of his poses. And he actually did a routine where he did a lot of Arnold poses. And coincidentally, he won the Best Poser Award. So he won the $10,000. But I thought between him and Terrence, these guys were both fantastic posers. So that's really great to see. The Arnold Classic, Nick Walker, who won the New York Pro, which was held out here in Tampa. I saw that. I think it was in June, maybe. And I went to that contest, and man, Nick dominated that event, and he looked even better at this contest, the Arnold Classic, and he won this contest. So now that's two in a row for Nick Walker, who's a 26-year-old pro bodybuilder in his second year as a pro, and he has made unbelievable improvements since last year. He is very thick, not symmetrical, not aesthetic at all, very thick as a brick bodybuilder, kind of blocky, but he's got these really thick, deep abs. So he just has this incredible hardness to his physique. Plus, he's so huge. It looks like he's got 24, 25-inch arms, and everything else in proportions. Rear double back was unbelievable pose. So, yeah, Nick dominated that contest. I didn't think it was close with him and anybody else. William Bonac was predicted to win because William won this contest twice. But William could not make it over to the United States in time. He had problems with his travel visa. So he was out. And Nick stepped up and won, and it wasn't even close. And I wonder if he would have beat William Bonac if William Bonac was in the contest. That's how dominating Nick was. So now we got the Mr. Olympia in 2 weeks, and man, I think Nick's going to be right up there. Maybe top three, top four, top five. It's going to be a really impressive Mr. Olympia debut if he looks anything like this. And I'm sure he's going to look like this or better because this guy always hits his peak. So very, very exciting contest. It looked like Steve Kuklo from Texas was going to be in second, but he ended up dropping to third at the night show, which I really didn't understand. Ian Valaire, who won the Tampa Pro, he was in second place, but he did not look as good as he did earlier in the year. Who else? Akeem Williams was predicted to be one of the top guys, but he was off. He was not in condition, so I think he was around fifth or sixth. And Sergio Oliva Jr., of course, Sergio Oliva's son, that was the biggest he's ever been. Really made some great improvements in the last year and a half. And I believe Sergio was fifth place. Justin Rodriguez, who was second to Nick Walker at the New York Pro a few months ago, he looked fantastic. And I think he was in fourth. I would have had him in second or third if I was judging. So anyway, Sergio won the Best Poser Award. They had a Best Poser Award here also. And then they also had a Most Muscular Award, which they call the Franco Colombo Award. And Nick Walker, of course, won that. So very, very exciting contest. If you guys want to check it out, it is free to view on pay-per-view. I'm sorry, not pay-per-view. You just go to Arnold Classic. Just Google Arnold Classic. I think it's arnoldsportsfestival.com is the website. But you can watch the pre-judging and the night show. And what's interesting about it is Arnold himself was doing the commentary. So he was up there with Cedric McMillan, who is, of course, a great Arnold fan. And Cedric won this contest himself. Cedric's my favorite professional bodybuilder competing today, but he did not even compete this year at all. And Cedric's got a great personality, and him and Arnold were talking a lot during the commentary. So I'm sure you guys will really find that interesting. Arnold had some great commentary and some great observations about what he was watching. Really, really great stuff. I really enjoyed it. And Dennis James and Amanda Latoya, who is actually Steve Kuklo's wife, we're also do the commentating. So yeah, just go to arnoldsportsfestival.com and you can watch it. I don't know how long it'll be up, but I will put the link below in the description here of the podcast. If you just look below here in the link, you can click on it there. I was on RX Muscle this week with Dave Palumbo and John Romano and Chris Aceto, and we were talking about the Arnold Classic. So that was great. Thanks to Dave for having me back on. He said he's going to have me on after the Olympia too, since I'll be out there. So I'll have the link to that interview also as well and below in the comments section if you guys want to check that out. All right, we got some bad news last week, and we were kind of expecting this. I mentioned it on the show a couple of weeks ago. Leon Brown, the great bodybuilder from the 1970s and even in the 1980s, and I believe in the 90s even, he was competing, a real legend in the sport, part of the original Gold's Gym crew. He's actually from New York, but he did go out to Gold's Gym and train for a while. He was Arnold's good friend, Franco's good friend. He was part of that crew. And Leon finally passed away. He was been sick for a while. He was in the hospital. I thought he had liver cancer, but Dave Palumbo told me he actually had prostate cancer. And I guess he was diagnosed with it a while ago, but he didn't take care of it. So unfortunately, he now has passed away. So I pulled up Leon contest history here. I wanted to go over it a little bit. Of course, anybody who saw or read the book Pumping Iron will remember Leon's pictures in there. There's three pictures of his back where he's doing like, I guess he was going into a rear double bicep pose, but his arms are out straight. It is some of the most impressive pictures, bodybuilding pictures ever. His back looked just absolutely incredible. Of course, it was taken by the great George Butler, who took the pictures for the book Pumping Iron. And Leon just looks absolutely amazing. So I'm sure any of us who've seen the book Pumping Iron will remember that. But yeah, Leon really was a fixture. I think he was in the movie Stay Hungry. He was one of the guys that was chosen to go down to Alabama and shoot as an extra. They had a lot of great bodybuilders in there. So, yeah, I pulled up his contest history on MuscleMemory.com. So in 1968, Leon was competing in the WBBG, the Dan Laurie organization. And he went into the IFBB Mr. North America that year, and he took first place in the medium class. Now, I think Leon beat Franco Colombo at one point. I did do an interview with Leon, thank God, a couple of years ago. So he was one of the guys, one of the legends I was able to secure an interview with before he passed away. So I will put that link down here in the description, guys, if you guys want to check that out. I'm going to listen to it again. I haven't heard it in a couple of years, but he was a good interview. And we talk in there about the contest that Leon beat Franco in, but I can't remember which one it was. It had to be late '60s, early '70s. Going over his contest history again, in 1969, Leon won the Mr. Venice Beach. And again, he was competing in the WBBG. And then it looks like he switched over to the IFBB in 1970. And he was in the Mr. America contest, which was held with the Mr. World and the Mr. Olympia. And that was in New York. That's when Arnold won his first Mr. Olympia. And Leon took second in the short class to Charles Colras. And if you see our picture here on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, we have that group picture of Arnold and Rick Wayne and Frank Zane and Franco. And I believe that's Charles Colras also in that picture. And Dave Draper's in there as well. So anyways, Leon took second to Charles Colras. And then the overall that year was, of course, won by Mike Katz at the IFBB Mr. America. Leon won the Mr. California, the IFBB Mr. California that year in 1970. And he also won the Mr. Western America. Let me see some other contests. He took second at the Mr. USA, IFBB Mr. USA in 1971 to Ed Corney. And then in 1972, he took second again in the Mr. America, this time to Ed Corney as well. And Ed won the Mr. America that year. And that was also the year that Ed won the Mr. Universe in Baghdad. And that was, of course, covered in the book Pumping Iron. And Leon won the Mr. East Coast that year. And I believe that was also covered in the book Pumping Iron. And that's where those great pictures of Leon were taken of his back. In 1973, Leon won the short class at the Mr. America. And that was when the overall was won by Lou Ferrigno. In 1974, he went back to the Mr. America again and again took second in the short class, this time to Eddie Giuliani. And he also won the Mr. Eastern America that year. And then it looks like in the 1978, he went into the Mr. USA and took third in the short class. And that was won by Ray Menser. So yeah, just a little bit of Leon's history. He was in the Mr. International contest in 1979. That was held, of course, with the Mr. Olympia in Columbus, Ohio. And he was second in that class. And, yeah, just an unbelievable contest history. He competed all the way through the 1980s. And competing in the MPC, Mr. U and the Nationals and the USA. And then he went to the Masters Nationals. He took sixth in the middleweight class at the Nationals in 1988. So then he actually went into the Mr. Olympia Masters division in 2002. It looks like his last contest was the Masters Pro World in 2006. I'm not sure how old he was at that point, but unbelievable bodybuilder, great history, Leon Brown, and a great guy. I got a chance, like I said, to interview him, so I will put that link down there if you guys want to check that out again, or if you never got a chance to hear it the first time. I believe it was at least 2 years ago. So rest in peace, Leon. We will never forget you. And Arnold put a little quote somewhere, a little tribute to Leon. I think it was on his Twitter account or somewhere, wherever he posts on social media. And he talked about Leon because I know Arnold was very, very close to him. I know when Leon went to the Arnold Classic every year, Arnold would go out of his way to say hi to Leon and then give him special accommodations to come there, him and his wife. All right. And speaking of Arnold, when we get done with our interview with Jose Raymond, I'm going to read an article. This goes all the way back to the June 1975 issue of Muscle Builder magazine. This was sent to us by our good friend Pat Comer, who always sends me articles. Pat hasn't sent me one in a while, but he did send this one. So it's perfect timing. And I'm going to read this article. And this is a really good article because this was before Arnold had stopped competing. It looks like from reading through it, it was taken after 1974 Olympia. And Arnold was kind of planning on doing some movies, but he didn't really have a clear plan on what he wanted to do. And he was also really talking a lot about contest promotion because him and Franco had just promoted the 1974 IFBB Mr. International, which they did in California. So the Mr. International used to be run by Eddie Sylvester in Mexico, in Tijuana, Mexico. It was a great event. They held it every year, and all the bodybuilders from Gold's Gym in California would go out there. And this, of course, this was the infamous contest where in 1973, Sergio went into the Mr. International and he challenged Arnold, who was in the audience with Joe Weider. And then after that, Sergio was persona non grata with the IFBB. They kicked him out and they also took the contest away from Eddie Sylvester after that real debacle of a contest because it was just, they got so much controversy. So after that, Arnold and Franco promoted their first show in 1974, the next year, and they did it in Los Angeles and, Lou Ferrigno was the winner. And then Lou was kind of out of shape. He was kind of smooth, but he did beat Mike Katz. He did beat Bill Grant and I think Bob Birdsong. And then he went on to win the Mr. Universe that year. So, but Arnold talks a lot about promoting contests in this article. So you guys are really going to enjoy this article written by Armad Tanney, who was one of the best writers for Joe Weider. So I will read that as soon as we get done with our interview with Jose Raymond. So without further ado, here's part two of our interview with Jose Raymond, where we talk about his predictions for the Mr. Olympia in the 212 division and also the classic physique division. Here we go. Well, let's start with your class, Jose, the 212. So last year we had Sean Clarita come in, big shock. The guy was totally improved, and he beat Kamal Elgarne, who won it the year before. And then we had Derek Lunsford, and we also had George Peterson in the top four, right? What's your prediction? You think Sean Clarita is going to come back and win again, win a second title?
Well, that would be the safe bet, mm-hmm. you know, because he's not old, he's not young, but he's still improving. If he can improve even 1% on what he was last year, you know, common sense would say he's going to win.
Yeah.
My bet, what I'm going with, is Derek Lunsford is going to finally put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And even a 10% improved Sean Clarita is not going to be able to beat what Derek is bringing to the stage this year. I think he's going to nail it once, finally. And that'll be his last 212 show. Mm-hmm. He'll win it, and he'll move on and be a threat immediately in the open division. I think that highly of his physique, and I think that highly of Hani's ability to help him.
Yeah.
You know, Derek has been prepping with a guy who was just a local guy that worked at GNC. He was like, oh, yeah. I'll help you.
Yeah.
You know, you know, anyone could have helped him. He's got those that crazy genetics.
Right.
You know, now he's got a seasoned, proven, multiple Olympia coach, in Hani Rambod that knows the intricacies of the body of these guys. And Derek has a newfound confidence and a newfound love for the sport.
Yeah.
That he didn't show last year and he didn't have. You know, you talk to him and he was like, yeah, I'm just gonna do my best. And you know, he looks different, he acts different, he's talking different.
All right, so
and, I'm gonna go with Derek. Derek is I think I'm pretty confident that with his height, his width, his, you know, shape, his flow,
yeah,
all those things, because he's kind of a combination of the top two of last year, mm-hmm. where you have Kamal with really good width in the shoulders, really beautiful lines and flow, but with ultra muscularity now. Sean Clarita,
you know,
and you know, he posted a pitch a couple of weeks ago of a back double by that would probably only be beaten by Rami at this point, you know.
It was
so impressive. You know, my only concern is him dropping another 10 to 15 pounds to make weight. Does he deflate? But I am confident enough that Hani will know how to really handle this situation. And that has been the problem for the last few years.
Right. You know, when did he take second to Flex Lewis? What year was that? Was that 3 years ago?
2018.
Yeah. 18, okay. So then,
that was my last year. Flex's last year. And he looked good, but he wasn't close to Flex.
No.
You know, but he's way bigger now.
Way more muscular. Yeah.
And he's way more mature. The physique has different lines in it now. You know, his legs are gigantic.
Yeah.
If he can hold on to it. Like,
right.
You know,
well,
that's been the problem, right?
That's been the problem the last few years.
Exactly. I saw him a month out from the Olympia last year, and he was enormous.
Yeah,
he's huge, striated quads. And then the day of the show, he was skinny. Like, I'm like, how the hell did that happen? Well, that's because he didn't have the experience. His coach didn't have the experience, and that's not a knock on him.
No.
He did his best, and he obviously did a great job with Derek. But you need someone who's been there over and over again that knows all of the little intricacies of making weight and then coming out at your best.
Yeah. So what do you think Hani will do that's different than what Derek's other coach did? Because he's going to have to make that weight, and that's where he screwed up all the time the last few years.
Well, he's going to have to do exactly what he didn't do the last few years.
Yeah.
He let him – I know one thing is he let him – gave him free rein to eat and train this offseason.
Yeah, I know.
Grow. Keep going. Grow. Let your body grow. And you know, that's something Derek wasn't doing. He was kind of like holding his weight back.
Yeah.
You know, should I or shouldn't I? And Hani's like, no, we need mature, hard muscle on you. Mm-hmm. And you're not bigger than Hadi. And Hadi still makes weight if he had to.
Yeah.
It, you know, he knows that he can do it. So I think he's going to just suck him down. And what's left is going to be all that muscle that he allowed him to grow in the off season.
Yeah.
Rather than holding him back.
Yeah.
You know, it's more seasoned muscle. It's another year. And he's not going to do anything crazy. He's not going to carb him up with pizzas and cheeseburgers. And that's stuff that I'd seen Derek doing.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep it quality. You know, that's what I would do. You know,
yeah.
I would make sure that he's close in weight and then that he makes it on the day. And then you slowly fill him back up with quality food and, you know, none of that shit loading, you know. Because then he'll spill over and then he'll be a little soggy looking and people say he's flat. He's not in shape when really he's in great shape. It just looks soggy.
Yeah.
If anyone can do it, Hani will do it. And I have confidence. And I'm so excited to see Derek because, you know, I've been a huge fan of what he's capable of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody has that structure. Nobody.
Right.
And you just want to see it fulfilled, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we all do. Right.
And you know, and I love Sean. And it wouldn't surprise me if Sean came back as a cartoon character again and won.
Right.
You know, but I'm going to say Derek wins, Sean second, Kamal third.
Okay.
And then it's a crap.
Jose, how much time will they have to carve up? Like, when do you weigh in? How much time do you have?
So here's the thing. When Flex was champ, they let us weigh in on Wednesday night.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes we didn't hit the stage till Saturday morning at the expo.
You got half a week.
Yeah. You know, so I don't think it's that way anymore. I think the weigh-ins are going to be Thursday and then probably Friday night prejudging.
Yeah, yeah, that's when prejudging it for 212, right?
Yeah, or even Friday morning, Friday night. Like Friday morning prejudging, Friday night finals, 212's done on Friday.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen, and that gives them very little time to adjust. But if he's smart, they'll make weight early so he can still eat the day of weigh-ins.
Mm-hmm.
There's a science to it, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure you're under. If he weighs in at 210 at 10 a.m. on the day of weigh-ins, well, then you can still eat a little bit. You're not going to be in preservation mode where your body starts panicking.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if he makes weight early, and that's something I always used to make sure I did, he can still eat the day of weigh-ins.
Right.
It's a nightmare when you can't eat the day of weigh-ins and then you expect to get on stage the next day.
Right.
All you're going to do is get on stage with a belly full of food.
Yeah. Well, I think he made a good point, too, that he should eat good food. You know, he should eat the food he's been used to eating the whole year instead of eating junk food. Yeah. I've seen guys make mistakes like that, and it always ends up being bad.
Right. I mean, it's a very rare case that that will work.
Right.
And if it does, all the power to you, but I'm not willing to try it.
Yeah.
So after Derek, Sean, Kamal, then you have, could Keon nail his conditioning?
Oh, I forgot about Keon. Yeah, that's
can
right.
He nail his conditioning? The only reason I haven't thrown his name in the top three is just I've yet to see an Olympia conditioned Keon yet.
Yeah.
You know, and it really matters, you know, because especially next to someone like Derek, who has crazy structure.
Yeah.
Even if Keon was 100%, I don't know that he could beat 100% Derek yet.
I don't think so either.
You know, and can he beat 100% George Peterson if he's only 85%?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is really all we've seen of him is 85, 90%.
Right.
He's another one that I feel just like Derek. Like, I want to see it. I don't think it's ready. I don't think it's going to happen right yet, but I cannot wait to see that because that'll be a sight to behold. But,
you think with Keon, it's that, a lot of people, you've got so many people saying, man, you got the greatest potential ever. You could be the Mr. Olympia winner in the 212. Do you think that gets in his head and he doesn't like really, really push it?
No, I think it gets in his head a little bit because he didn't do the Olympia last year for that reason.
Yeah.
But I think if someone spoke to Keon the right way and said, listen, don't let it get to you because you're only 26, 27 years old.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to look like a 35-year-old man. You know, don't try to rush it. When you try to rush it, your physique looks rushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't look seasoned. You don't look ready. You know, just be your best. And your best is one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
You know, let the chips fall where they may. But he needs time. And, you know, dude, he could be top 4 or 5 in the world,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing to shake your hat at.
Right.
And that's where I see him. I see him in the 4 or 5 spot, I think, between him, George. And then, you know, there's just crazy Europeans, too, that, like, people forget about. And Russian kid with the inside-out dryness. And you know, there's some guy coming from Brazil that looks like he's 240.
Really?
Yeah. His name is Lucas Coelho. He just won the show in Alicante, Spain.
Okay.
He is a freak.
Hmm.
Big legs, small waist, vacuum, lots that come out crazy. I don't know that his condition is going to be enough. Just because, you know, the top three guys that I've named, they're just lights out condition.
Yeah.
And But this guy, Lucas, could be something. He could be up there. You know, guys like, you know, I'm really excited to see like a John Jewett, a Nathan Epler, the guy, Tonio, the kid who won Indy. Tony, how do you say his name? Tonio?
Tavares? No.
No, his first name's Tonio.
Okay.
I forget his last name, but he was pretty awesome.
Okay.
Really thick. Really thick. He wasn't 100% conditioned in Indy, but he did beat Nathan Epler, and he beat John Jewett.
Okay.
And he's very good, very thickly muscled and very complete. If he nails his condition, he'll be right in there too. You know, sometimes it throws me off because some of these guys are taller than I'm used to.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the.
How do you think Sean Clarita can improve from last year? Because last year he just looked so jam-packed with muscle. If he gets bigger, do you think it's going to possibly ruin his lines or ruin his physique?
No, he did get bigger. You saw that guest posing, right? With him and Nick Walker.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I saw the one with him and Akeem.
Yeah, I mean, his legs are just wild.
I know.
You know, as long as he poses, which I know he does, works on his presentation, holding his stomach in, mm-hmm. his legs are bigger than his waist now, so that's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
His arms, he is bigger. He's probably going to be 3 or 4 pounds bigger,
okay.
which on a, you know, an adult frame would be like, 20 pounds. I had to throw a jab at him. He's the only one taller than him. You know, he's going to be better. He's going to be bigger.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. I've seen something out of Derek that is very different than what I've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Massive shoulders now, very mature shoulders. You know, he's the widest guy. You know, his back is just insane. Legs are insane.
Right.
His midsection is insane. The glutes, you know, he's got all the bells and whistles and then some, and then he's bigger than everyone, like structurally bigger and better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think his structure is incredible. So
it really
it's just,
is.
It's just a matter of him nailing it, you know.
It's really the best in bodybuilding.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Rami doesn't look better than him. He's just bigger.
Yeah.
You know, that nobody has that structure, that craziness.
Right.
So I would love to see the ideal scenario would be for him to win and then be in the first call out next year in the Open. I think it can happen.
Yeah.
I think it will. But I think I think Clarita has more time. Even if he loses this year, he'll come back the next year and win.
Yeah.
You know? He's the only one I see is Derek and Keon. And I don't think Keon's ready to beat Sean. And I think Derek is.
You don't think Keon will be in the top three?
I do not think he'll be in the top three. I think he'll be top five just because he's so pretty. But that's my top five is going to be Derek, Sean, Kamal, Kiana, Georgia, Keon.
What do you think about Kamal? Now, Kamal won it 2 years ago. He lost a close decision last year to Sean. So what do you think his mindset is coming in? I mean, do you think he feels he can win again?
Of course, yeah. He looks phenomenal. I see pictures of him almost daily.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he's huge, and he's in great shape. And, the problem is his body is his body. It's, you know, the things that brought him down from Sean are still a weakness to him.
Yeah.
And Sean is improved. And basically, Sean's legs are bigger than they were, and Kamal's at 50 years old aren't bigger than they were.
Right. So
they're still decent. They're still good. He's still going to have that insane midsection, the insane presentation, the presence, you know, when he just stands there. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the very few that can do a front relax, crunch down on the abs.
Yeah.
And it looks
beautiful. Yeah.
And still have the width and, you know, condition from every angle. Every shot he hits is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's where he's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kamal is one of the most decorated bodybuilders of all time, worldwide, internationally, and it shows.
Yeah.
That's why he's Olympia champion, an Arnold champion, and runner-up last year, and he's definitely a threat to win again. I just think the things that held him back from winning last year will continue to plague him at another year older.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed last year he tried to come in a little bit bigger And when he won 2 years ago, he had that polish, especially against Derek, who wasn't peaked that year. And he was so hard and so polished. And I think last year tried to come in a little bit bigger. He didn't have quite the polish. And I thought from being there and watching, I thought Sean just out-muscled him. I just thought Sean was just so and so overwhelming, you know.
I thought he was plenty polished. I think Sean just out-muscled him, like you said.
Yeah.
It is a bodybuilding show. And, you know, Sean's freakiness, you just couldn't take your eyes off him. You just can't stop looking at him. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know, and Kamal has that beautiful look. Like, wow, that is a statue. Like, and even if he was off 1%, it I don't think condition was what mattered, because really in like a rear double bicep, Kamal won that shot with all the grooves in his back and his glutes were crazy.
Yeah.
It's just the round bubbliness of Sean, and Sean was hard as hell.
Yeah.
You know, very dry. And that's probably what's going to happen again. You know, Sean only got a little better. And Kamal, I don't want to say that he didn't, because I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be hard for me to wage a bet at 50 years old that he got better.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, I think he got better last year than he was the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely bigger.
Yeah. And, you know, so who's to say he's not? I just say that my bet is definitely Derek and then Sean. And I'm just going out on a limb, because usually the Olympia champ, if he improves or stays the same, he's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's Derek's time. I think I just feel that that's where it's going.
What about George Peterson? He had a lot of buzz, you know, when he first went into 212. He was a big guy, incredible back. And then last year he got, what, fourth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? It doesn't seem as much buzz about him this year.
I think he runs into the same problem as Derek in that he's tall.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taller than Derek.
Yeah.
Like significantly, like 2 or 3 inches taller.
Yeah, I think he's like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, and he has so much muscle on him that he looks overwhelming, you know, 3 weeks out at 225.
Yeah.
But you get him on stage. I mean, he's striated at 240. You get him on stage, and he almost looks off. You're like, whoa, he's not in shape. Well, he's soft as hell. He has that making weight problem.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to run into the same problem, but he's still good enough, still polished enough, round enough,
yeah,
you know, everywhere to be in that top four. I don't see anyone. Like, I see him beating Keon.
Yeah.
I just do, because it's a polished look that Keon doesn't have yet.
Yeah.
And that's where I see it, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think George can hold the amount of size that he needs to beat someone who he's 7 inches taller than in Clarita.
Yeah.
Or Kamal or Derek, you know, they're both significantly shorter. But you know what? Crazier things have happened. I wish him the best and I hope he does.
Yeah.
But you know, this is all just from my own personal experience, what I think is most likely going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with all your picks, Jose. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think Derek's going to win, and I think Sean will be second. I think Kamal will be third, and probably, like you said, George fourth and Keon fifth. That sounds like a good top five. I think that's I hope Derek pulls it together too, because we all want to see that physique reach its peak. And I think we're frustrated as fans watching the last couple of years.
Right. Seeing
the pre-contest photos and then seeing what he brings to the stage, it was just frustrating for everybody, especially him.
It would be a feel-good story. And, you know, again, Sean, it doesn't put him out of the running, because he can come back next year and win. Because I don't think Derek would want anything to do with making 212 ever again.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's just growing out of his skin. It would do him no justice to stay in the 212 division. I think he moves on win, lose, or draw after this year.
Yeah.
Which would be the smart move for him. But Sean can come back and win next year, and the year after, he's still only 37 years old. Mm-hmm. Which was, you know, I was just getting started at 37.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing.
Wouldn't that be wild if Derek won the 212 and then eventually one day won the Olympia?
I think he will.
God, that's...
I think he will. Yeah, I was talking to, maybe Chris. And, you know, around the time that I had seen him, and then I saw who was winning, and I saw, like, you know, this is all speculation because he's not standing on stage next to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would beat Hunter. I think he would beat Ian. I think, you know, structurally, he's put together. He's just as big as them. He's just shorter.
Yeah.
But he's structurally better.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told him, I'm like, screw the Olympia. Dude, go do the New York Pro.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you said that. Yeah.
And I told him, no matter what happens this year, I'm like, go win the New York Pro next year.
Yeah.
That's what he should do.
Right.
Dude, I think that physique is just off the wall.
I do too. It's a beautiful physique.
Yeah. And he can do it at 225. Nobody's bigger than him. 230, yeah. 225. Nobody's bigger. And he's absolutely shredded at that weight as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of like a Danny Padilla. You know, it's just so perfectly put together.
Yeah.
Much bigger, obviously. Much bigger.
Yeah. But that vacuum, that rib cage.
Yeah, man. Structure.
Tiny hips.
Yeah. The shots really are mind-blowing. They're just mind-blowing.
Yeah. Really good legs. Really good round quads. It's all coming together for him. You know, his shoulders are as wide as anyone's, those clavicles.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really mind-blowing to see him. When I saw him in March, he was 255, in great shape, totally striated everywhere.
Jeez.
And, I mean, his legs were just huge.
Yeah.
And that's when I was saying to him, like, dude, do the New York Pro. Forget the 212. This is crazy.
Yeah.
You tell me you got to lose almost 40 pounds. or 40 pounds off of this, and you look so good.
Yeah.
You know? So, we'll see. I think we beat the 212 to death. There's a couple names that we didn't mention that I probably forgot about. Some of the... you know, the guys overseas and whatnot. And those guys are all crazy dark horses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're going to have to really, really be good to make that top five, right? Because, I mean, you got the – every time with the Olympia, it seems any division, there's the names. You know, everybody's looking for the certain names. And we all know who the top five, top six, top seven are going to be. So for somebody to come in who just won a pro show and to just move in, I mean, it could happen, but they're going to have to really be impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I threw out those names, Tonio Burton, I think that's his name.
Okay.
From Indy. Because if he improves, he's wild.
Okay.
And the guy Coelho, Lucas, because they're big, really big, structurally big and round. So they could very well come in and knock off some of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, the guys like Jewett and Epler and some of those guys are, you know, they're going to come in shape. You know, they're going to be very, very nice physiques, but they're just, you know, too tall and mm-hmm. finished compared to some of these other guys. So, yeah, you know, keep an eye on the Brazilian. He's got dreadlocks like the
over
his, actually, so does Tonio Burton.
Okay.
So, keep an eye out. You'll like those guys.
Okay. So our pick is Derek. We're both picking Kirk. Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Classic. So last year we had Bumstead win his second time, and it was dominating. Like, nobody was even close to him. Everybody was expecting another Bumstead, Breon Ansley rematch. And Breon actually ended up in third behind Terrence Ruffin, who sneaked into second. So it looks like he is the dominant guy, and he's going to be hard to beat.
I think it's a runaway, worse than last year. just because I think he's in his zone. He's confident now. He knows what he's got to do. His physique is just perfect. And he's got the face, the hair, the swag, the whole – you know, the lisp, he's the savage. You know, he's got it all.
Yeah.
But there, I think the next best guy to do some damage, there's two guys that I think. I think those other names, I don't think Terrence Ruffin's going to be ready. Something's telling me. I've been seeing pictures of him. He looks a little behind from where I've seen him before. And when you're a smaller structured guy, mm-hmm. compared to the 6'2" Chris Bumstead, you got to really bring something extra special. I think he's about 5'5".
Yeah.
You know, you got to bring it. And I have a feeling he's a little behind.
Yeah, that seems to be the feeling about Terrence.
Yeah, I think Breon is another year older. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at maybe 41, somewhere mm-hmm. in there. I think he's going to be better than he was last year, because something tells me he's going back to hardcore, old school condition, hard muscle. And I think he tried to out-strategize last year,
yeah,
rather than coming in just playing his own game,
yeah,
which is crazy hard condition. Symmetry, you know, all that. But he tried to do some things that didn't work out for him. But now, my biggest thing is this guy, they call him the Mr. Classic Physique. He just won a show over Logan Franklin.
Robert Timms?
Robert Timms. He had disappeared for a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he's got the height. He's got the width. His back double by is going to be untouchable.
He's super hard.
He's crazy conditioned.
Yeah.
I don't know that his legs match up with Chris Bumstead,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of other things do.
Mm-hmm.
His arms are better. You know, he's conditioned. He's a little grainier, like crazier looking.
Yeah.
We'll have to see it on stage. I think Chris still edges him out with perfect symmetry everywhere, front to back, top to bottom, side to side. You know,
a little bit better structure, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Brian Jones is going to take a leap this year.
Yeah.
And he's going to move up. I think he was fourth last year.
He was fifth.
Fifth. I think he's going to be better.
Yeah.
He's going to be better than that because he's no longer a shock. There's no more shock value to him. Like, who's this mm-hmm. guy?
Yeah.
Now they're looking for him. And they're going to say, yep, he belongs right there. So now you're going to have some tall guys. You're going to have Chris Bumstead. You're going to have Brian Jones. You're going to have Timms, and I think that might be your top three.
Yeah, because Chris Bumstead was up against Terrence and Breon last year, and I think those were the only comparisons they made was between those three for the top three. So he was much, much bigger, much taller than those guys, so it really wasn't much of a contest. But you're right. Now he's going up against taller guys like Robert Timms and Brian Jones. So now he's going to have guys who are going to be able to compete with him structure-wise and height-wise.
Yes. And I think that's why Ruffin cannot afford to be even 1% off.
Yeah, right.
Not only does Breon leapfrog him, but those other two guys will leapfrog him.
Yeah.
And I see that happening if he's not 1,000,000% at his best.
Yeah.
And, because of the whole structure thing, if these guys get a call out next to Bumstead, then unfortunately I think Breon might get moved aside. Mm-hmm. Even though I think we're going to see a better Breon, he might end up in a third, fourth spot because these guys are improving. They're hot on the trail. Their names are fresh and they're going to be looking for them. They're going to get the opportunity to get that call out. And I just think structurally there's more wow. Breon has the knotted up back and the really mature muscle. And I really love what he brings.
Yeah, I do too.
And, I hate even, saying that he's not going to win because I love the guy. But I just think the way that the judging is going, because Chris Bumstead is Mr. Olympia, you might see more similar physiques get the opportunity to stand next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you might say, well, that guy kind of looks a little better next to him than Breon does,
mm-hmm.
at 7 inches shorter than him.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing as Ruffin. Ruffin is similar to Keon in that he's so perfectly structurally beautiful. And, but if he's not 100%, it ruins it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And last year he was awesome. He was lights out condition. And if he doesn't bring that same thing, they're going to move him aside.
Yeah.
Because other than that awesome structure, nothing else is impressive. He's not ultra wide. He's not ultra tall. He's not, you know.
No.
He's only checking one box where these guys are going to check a lot.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were talking about Terrence last year. Like, man, this guy doesn't get his due. He's awesome. And I think even at the Arnold in March in 2020, he got second to Alejandro Campanero. And a lot of people thought he should have beat Alejandro. So I think he had, you know, kind of the sympathy, not the sympathy vote, but, you know, I think people were talking about him saying this guy deserves better. And then he ended up being Breon and ended up second place. So that was a huge victory for him.
Well, he's deserved the notoriety for a few years.
Yeah.
He's been very good for a while now.
Yeah.
He was a little small. I mean, I think he was competing at 165.
Yeah.
Really small. 5'5", 165.
Is he 5'5"? Okay, I was going to ask you.
Yeah. And then it wasn't until, you know, his body started maturing a little bit. His confidence, his presentation just kept getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
And he deserved every bit of that second place last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I have a feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, but I have a feeling he's taken a step back.
Yeah. It's got to be frustrating for Breon being a two-time champion, and then he loses. Like that one year he lost, the first year he lost to Bumstead, he was improved, like we talked about last year.
Oh, yeah.
He still lost. And then he trained hard again, and then he came back last year and he got third. So it's got to be frustrating because he does have a great physique. He is a two-time champion. And he's kind of dropping down in the placings now, you know.
Well, that's called evolution, Joe. Mm-hmm. The sport is evolving. It's changing. It's like, you know, we didn't know what it was until we saw it. You know, it was one of those things. The same thing with bikini, same thing with the new wellness division. We don't really know what it is until we see it. And at the time when Breon was winning, he was the best we had.
Yeah.
You know, it took a little while for Chris to come out of the, you know, come out from the darkness and show himself.
Yeah.
And now that's the look. And you know, it's going to be very hard to beat that.
Yeah. Chris improved a lot every year, too. And he always had the structure and the height. It was just a matter of improving. Like, he really improved his back. Last year, he was so dramatically improved. I thought it was a slam dunk.
It was.
Yeah.
And I think it will be again. Because as good as those other guys are, I don't think they have like every one of those boxes checked yet. You know, the polish of, you know, even his skin tone, his skin color, his skin, you know.
Yeah.
He's just perfect in every way for that division, you know.
It seems like no matter what division it is, when a guy wins, he's Mr. Olympia in whatever division it is. It changes his mindset. I talked to Peter McGuff about Ronnie Coleman. And he said Ronnie never expected to win that first time in 98. But then after he won, he always had that Mr. Olympia mindset, you know, every year. Really? It totally changed his whole persona because he said, now I'm the best. He believed it and he believed in himself. And I think that's the same thing with Chris. And I think Chris is just going to come in totally ready again, but even better because he knows what it takes to win. He's been there. He's won it twice now. And he knows exactly what he has to do to improve. And I think he's going to do it.
Yeah. Well, lots of other things in your life change to make that easier.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting contracts. You start making money. You know, you don't have to work a 9-to-5 job anymore. Mm-hmm. You can focus more on improving on those things that you need to. So he has no excuse not to win.
Right.
He has the genetics. He has the structure. He has it all, and he has the time to do it.
Yeah.
So I expect nothing but the best out of Chris, and I feel bad for everyone else trying to come after him. But it is exciting seeing these other physiques. You know, the fact that we hadn't seen Robert Timms in a few years.
Yeah.
Now he's back and better than ever. And Brian Jones is, you know, he's just unbelievable to watch. You know, if Chris wasn't here, that would be your ideal, right? You know,
do you think Brian Jones is going to put it together as far as coming in really ripped and coming in peaked and to be a force to be in that top three?
Yeah. Yeah. I've yet to see him not. You know, I've seen a few shows of him when he turned pro, when he did one other pro show, and then with Chicago last year, and then the Olympia. Every single one, I was mind-boggled, like how sliced and certain shots. He does a lot of really unorthodox posing. Like, it's almost strange, but it's incredible.
I thought he was a little off last year, but he still took fifth just based on his great structure and his great genetics.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Robert Timms goes, because I think that guy, if he comes in, you know, really ready, I think he's going to be a four. I think he'll be in that top three.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What about Logan Franklin? He's getting a lot of buzz and stuff. And do you think he could be in that top five?
Yes. He could be top five, six, right on the edge.
Okay.
Right on the, you know, he's very good at what he does, which is come in shape and pose, great
poser,
presentation. He just doesn't have the same lines, the same muscle shape as the other guys.
Yeah.
In front of him, you know, but he's certainly one to watch. I don't see him cracking top four, five, could be six, seven. Okay. See him in there.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't have everything those other guys do. He's kind of like overachieved, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at him out of the gate and be like, that guy, you know? But then you see him, and, wow, he's improved. Next show, he's improved. Wow. He went from men's physique to this. Wow. Yeah. He really has improved. And
he only got ninth last year at the Olympia, so.
Yeah, so sixth would be a huge improvement.
Yeah.
Because the division's only getting more talented, more competitive. So, yeah, I mean, top six would be a stretch, but I could see him sliding into six, especially because he's done a lot to promote himself. He's very good. He's a fan favorite. People like him. He will get every opportunity to be there in the top six.
Mm-hmm.
Will he do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I doubt it. If he was ninth last year, he's gotten better, but so has the division.
So, what about that kid from Germany that won the Tampa? Did you see pictures of him? He's a really young kid. I think he's like 24.
Yeah.
Real good physique as far as like great vacuum, real sliced legs, probably not the maturity or the muscle size needed to beat some of these top guys. But I think it'll be exciting to see him. You know, he's got a lot of enthusiasm, real positive attitude.
Yeah. So, he's another one of those guys that just nails the classic poses.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Every last bit of him screams classic. And it's kind of fun. It's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Real fun to watch.
Puts on a good show. And
he was one of the highlights at that Tampa show.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes you back to the 70s when guys posed that way. And, you know, I like it. I like it a lot. I just don't know if he has the muscle maturity, the size yet to stand with those bigger guys. Because, I mean, it is bodybuilding.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. There is a size aspect to it.
Yeah.
The
thing that's exciting about Chris, when I interviewed him last year, he said he's still got 10 more pounds to go before he reaches his limit in class. Yeah. So as good as he was last year, he's still going to add 10 more pounds, which is crazy. Yeah,
that's what I love about it. You know, that's why I think he's going to run away with it. I think it's going to come out and pretty much be one call out. And Chris, back in line tonight, go put your feet up. You know, I think it's going to be that simple.
Wow. How many years do you think he can win it?
He's, what is he, 27?
Yeah, I think so. He's still in
10? If he stays healthy and you know.
You think he win in 10 more years?
10 more? He's got two already.
Yeah.
Eight more? Sure. Easy.
Really? Wow.
Sure, absolutely.
Even with all this new talent coming in every year? I mean, it seems like every year we're getting new guys.
Yeah, but he's in 10 years, he's only going to be 37.
And he's going to get bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah. It doesn't have to do anything drastic.
Yeah.
Just slowly enjoy your game. Enjoy what you're doing. Train.
And it seems like he's smart enough to know that.
Yes, he is. And he's got a great team around him. You know?
Which family, is very important.
Yes, yes. And these are people that will talk to him in that manner. You don't got to do anything special.
Yeah.
Stay healthy. Keep coming back. You can do it as long as you want to. Imagine someone saying that to you. You can be the best in the world as long as you want to. And that's pretty much what we're seeing.
Plus, he's probably the most popular bodybuilder in the world, right? He's more popular than any of the open men. He's got a bigger fan base, I think, than anybody.
Yeah, certainly amongst the women.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, he I think on his Instagram following, he's got millions and millions of followers.
Yeah, I think he has a billion followers. A billion. He might as well. It doesn't, you know.
He's like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Okay. I love the guy. I think it's exciting. I can't wait to see that in 10 years. Where is that? You know?
Yeah.
But he's smart. He's got a, you know, good business marketing himself and his social media. And, you know, the problem with 10 years is the whole thing changes. You know, 10 years ago, we didn't have Instagram. We didn't have any of the nonsense, you know.
Right.
It changed the sport so much.
Oh, it did.
In 10 years.
Totally different, yeah.
It's going to be very different. And, you know, Chris will be one of the older guys having to adapt to this new virtual whatever, you know?
Yeah, wherever it goes, right.
Yeah, who knows what it's going to be like.
Right, right. So who do you think is going to be second, Jose? We're kind of saying Breon and Terrence might be out of that top three. So who do you think will rise up to second? You think it'll be Tim's?
Either Tim's or
Brian Jones. Yeah.
So Brian Jones has the legs.
Yeah, he does.
Stand with him. He doesn't have the insane shoulder width of Chris or Tim's, but he does have the legs. And that's important because Chris has really good legs.
Yeah, real good legs, yeah.
So, I don't think he can beat Chris, but, you know, it's funny. If you combine the two of them, they would beat Chris because Tim's upper body's insanity with the wide shoulders and crazy arms.
Yeah.
And then Brian Jones's legs are crazy. But yeah, either one of them.
Where is Chris weak? Still the arms, you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. He's got really long arms.
He's brought up his back. His back is really good.
Yeah, his back's awesome.
He's got the great structure. He's got the great legs.
He's got a front lat spread that looks like Dorian Yates at his best. You know what I mean? It's so impressive.
Yeah.
You know, that would be about it. I don't see any other weakness.
Yeah.
And I think it would throw his physique off, to be honest with you, if they got too big.
Yeah.
Like they've gotten better. They look awesome in a side chest.
Yeah.
It's just when they're overhead, they look, it's a very short bicep.
Yeah. It's a very long arm. Just the shape of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think he's fine. I don't think he really has any weaknesses because the arms don't hurt him enough to be a weakness.
No.
But if he could improve, I'm sure he would try to make his arms a little bigger.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with, Chris again. And, I think those other two guys that you mentioned, they probably will be up there.
Yeah. I hope Breon, you know, if you saw that interview with Steve Weinberger last year after the Olympia, he said if Breon brought his best, he would have been fighting for first. That says a lot. He just said that Breon was off.
So, yeah, it seems like Breon is maybe a little more relaxed this year because it's not as focused on him and Chris like it was last year.
Right.
I think he was really focused on, okay, this is the rematch again. I got to get it back. I got to get it back. There's a lot of pressure. And when that pressure's on you, I think sometimes that doesn't lead to great results. So I think if he feels like he's not being talked about, now he can rise up and he's more relaxed. And he does look really, really good. I've been following him on Instagram. He looks really good coming into this.
Yeah, they were doing a lot of back and forth last year in social media.
Yeah,
that's never good for anyone.
Yeah. It was just focused on those two.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were getting involved in it. And
yeah.
You know, they're two awesome champions. You hate to see that. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's none of that this year.
No.
And that does, you know, that does bode well for them. That means they're focused on themselves, on what they're doing.
Yeah.
And not worrying about what anyone else is saying. Don't watch this podcast. That's the worst thing you can do as a competitor is stop.
Yeah, start getting involved, right? Yeah.
All the guys are going to hate me. Fuck, you didn't mention my name or you had me in third. Like, I don't know.
Hey, what about Alejandro Combinero? Now, he won the Arnold last year. He was fourth last year. He beat Brian Jones. So he's not really being talked about, but he's got a fantastic physique.
Yeah, and he comes in great shape.
Always, yeah.
Very balanced. He's a former excellent 212 bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah.
He won a bunch of shows. He did a few Olympias as a 212 guy.
Yeah.
And he belongs in that conversation. See, he's someone that would probably handily beat a Logan Franklin.
Yeah.
But he's not going to win, and he's probably not going to be third.
Yeah.
You know, that tells you how competitive this is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I would have him in the same area.
About fourth.
First call out.
Yeah, fourth or fifth. Yeah.
Any which way that it could flip. I think one of those guys is going to bump him out.
Yeah.
Timms or Jones. I think he beat Brian Jones last year.
Yeah, Brian was fifth. He was fourth.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I think all those guys are going to be around that same area again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is going to get bumped. If
I think the guy to really watch out for, in my opinion, would be Brian Jones. If he can really hit his peak, come in really ripped and realize that potential, I think he's going to really move up.
Yeah, when we get off, go back and look at last year's Chicago Pro.
Okay.
He nailed it for that show. It was all ridiculous. Right.
Yeah.
He had some crazy side tricep shots that were just nuts.
Yeah, he's got a lot of size, man. A lot of potential.
Yeah.
Can't thank you enough again for coming on the show and offering your predictions. I think you offer a lot of intelligence and experience that most people don't have. So I really appreciate your expertise, opinion on this. And I think you're going to be right on the money or real close.
Yeah, yeah. I can guarantee you one thing. I'm not going to get them all right.
No, I think it's going to be impossible to pick them all right because you don't know what they look like, and it's just so deep. It's deeper this year than I can remember in a long time.
Right. I can guarantee you Rami's going to be big, and Hadi's going to be shredded.
It's exciting that Hadi and Rami are both in the United States early, 3 weeks out, and they're both training hard. That's exciting.
That makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
That's why I have them top two.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good bet.
Yeah.
Are you going this year, Jose?
I'm undecided yet. I don't want too many fans to come up to me and know that I'm there, so I want to come incognito.
Okay.
No, you know, I'm sticking to it. I've never been to an Olympia that I didn't compete in.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah, and it's almost too depressing for me to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm likely not going to be there, no.
Okay.
But if at some point I'm there in a working capacity and I need to be there, and then I would consider it. But I'm not going to book a flight and a hotel and to go there and get depressed. You know? I can watch it from home.
Yeah.
And we'll do all these shows and podcasts talking about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jose. Well, thank you very much again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. We always welcome you on the show because you're an expert commentator.
All right, my friend. My pleasure. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Jose Raymond for coming on the show and giving his predictions for the Mr. Olympia. And again, if you guys want to check out the Mr. Olympia in Orlando, Florida, October 7th through 10th, just go to MrOlympia.com and you can get some tickets there and find out all the information on when all the events are. And if you want to watch it on pay-per-view, I will be doing interviews backstage. Just go to olympiaproductions.com and you can order the pay-per-view. So check that out. I hope you guys get a chance to listen to that. All right. I also want to thank our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And as always, I want to thank all our generous Patreon donors for donating each month to the show, and you guys help keep the show going. So you have my undying gratitude. I really appreciate you guys. If anyone out there wants to be a Patreon donor, just go to our website, which is bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And in the upper right hand corner, you will see the link for Patreon. All right. So without further ado, before I let you guys go, I want to read this article, which comes from the June 1975 issue of Muscle Builder magazine. And this is actually part two. I don't know what part one was, but it's called Part Two, Arnold, His Life and Good Times by Armand Tanny. The successful merchant of Venice tells writer Armand Tanny, Mr. USA 1950, of the dazzling life he has made for himself in modern bodybuilding. In all the photos you see of Arnold in magazine ads, at exhibitions, or privately among friends, his expression is always joie de vivre. Thick muscle definitely seems to have cushioned him against defeat. If he has known misfortune, it doesn't show. All you get to see is a face as open and fresh as a glade after a summer rainstorm. The imp and the saint in him live in harmony. If you think he's innocent, you have to see the photos of him taken during his workouts. The look is that of the hunter in hostile country. Practically every picture shows the same thing, a fierce eagerness so intense it seems to lunge out at you for inspection. However, the delicate features of his face at rest belie the strong ambitions that course through his powerful veins. You soon learn the purpose behind the training effort that surpasses anything on earth. Muscle doesn't come easy for him. He insists on training 4 hours a day to get what he wants. He has goals, he says, can only be reached by a mixture of muscles and mentality. Arnold nourishes a private theme, one that would heighten the stature of bodybuilding. He is probing, but he attempts to clarify his thoughts. I would like to show that you can make money as a bodybuilder. I'd like to prove it to the other bodybuilders. They have to go out and hunt for it, perhaps each in his own way. So many of them quit after they work so hard, falling short of any financial gain. I do very well in my own way through my mail order business. I can attempt to lead the way in my own way. I will continue with school and complete my business administration courses. I want to continue promoting shows. Then my ultimate ambition is to get into motion pictures. Many years have passed since Steve Reeves busted through to worldwide fame in foreign-made movies. The reality of adopting a modern muscle star to the present-day species of motion pictures gives Arnold pause for thought. If muscles are written into a movie script for the sake of muscles alone, then I am prepared. In my recent trip to Rome, I met with producer Brad Harris, who instructed his writers to script a part for me in one of his upcoming pictures. I'm ready for that. I'm also ready for roles with heavy characterization. I am willing to work to develop the ability to handle anything big. I feel very confident. I feel that a new age of muscles in movies is coming. The big money is there. The glamour and fanfare of the big muscle shows of the late 40s and early 50s somehow got lost in time. Arnold knows of them only by hearsay. The shows today still don't compare. Though his Mr. International 1974 in Los Angeles was a solid success, he has a keen vision of improvement. In the summer of 75, I proposed to hold the Pro Mr. Universe and Mr. America contest together, he says. First of all, I want to make these contests outstanding for the bodybuilder. In the past, they were never held for his benefit, rather for the promotion. I want to see better contest conditions. I'd like to see dressing rooms and showers. I'd eliminate all unnecessary visitor traffic backstage. There'd be orderly arrangement of the competitors by number and class, and swift movement of the show. I'll give them sufficient prior notice of the contest date so they can train for it. Deficiencies in former muscle shows have too often been filled in with distracting acts that one would better see on television. Arnold's private concept caters to the purist. The success of this idea and show so far is a matter of record. People come to these shows to see muscle, and that's what they're going to get. Everything will be muscle from beginning to end. They will leave with a head full of muscles. There will be no distractions like variety acts, the hand balancing and stuff like that, and broads with big boobs traipsing around the stage. You can get all that stuff all weekend at the beach. I think muscle fans come to see muscle and aren't interested in anything else. He skips lightly across another idea that comes too soon to dare his imagination. These shows could even be put on television, closed circuit or whatever.
The success of his Mr. International last summer was clearly not a mistake. Arnold continues, I tried to use the facilities of that auditorium to the best advantage. If bigger and better places show me a way to improve these shows, I will use them. I've also learned a thing or two about expenditures. It's lucky I'm into business administration. Arnold's apartment stands as a focal point of his business and bodybuilding activities. The momentum of his muscular accomplishments extend beyond the static gaudiness of metal trophies. A sizable art collection from around the world, many of them gifts, adorn his rooms. They are trail markers of his far-ranging exhibitions. He has always brought back something from every place he has appeared in. He can quickly tick off their origins. Oil paintings, one from Hawaii, one from Greece. Belgium and Austria, a big wooden statue from Rio de Janeiro. A Don Quixote statue from Spain. A figurine from Germany. A statue of the Kiss from New York. A wooden warrior from South Africa. A piece from Mexico. A tiki god from Hawaii. A flower painting from Holland. A print from England. A statue of lovers from Puerto Rico, and even an old Bible printed in 1710, which he acquired at an auction. He prizes most of all things that are done by his personal friends in the muscle game. A delicate cluster of flowers painted by a Herculean wrestler, Wayne Coleman, whose arms are as big as Arnold's, delights the peripatetic art collector. Wherever he can in the construction of his apartment, he gives the work to his bodybuilding friends. Ed Giuliani does electrical installation. Franco, the cement work, Roger Callard, the carpentry, Dave Draper, the furniture, and many others. He's looking for Bill McArdle to do some artwork. He's quick to qualify any of them. Franco, for example, says Arnold, was a bricklayer for several years. I know, I even worked with him. Draper's done a great deal of the furniture, heavy, meaty, exquisitely carved, as muscular as its creator. Appropriately, poetically, the wood came from the razing of the ancient Venice Pier. Locked forever in its grain are the same wind and sea and sand that helped carve the great bodies of Muscle City. As silent sentries, the wooden masterpieces watch over the flock from their new home. Part of the upper level has become the office. His 10 mail-order bodybuilding booklets are stacked in neat slots. The office also enjoys the same careful detail and order. It wears Arnold's character. In the course of the survey, the phone rings. Familiar names are calling him. You begin to realize the symbiotic relationship among these people. It happens to be Roger Callard, that speedy ex-fullback from Michigan State. He wants to know something about the work he's supposed to finish at Arnold's place. Roger is thick in the center of bodybuilding these days. There's a knock at the front door. It's a very young kid, and in a fast exchange of words, you gather he's trying to give Arnold a free pass to Disneyland. Arnold doesn't want to go to Disneyland. But you don't understand. It's free, sir, the kid insists. Arnold doesn't want to go to Disneyland. But the kid is determined. Arnold should go to Disneyland. Everybody goes to Disneyland. It won't cost anything. Arnold's voice becomes strident with fear. He is losing, but in a quick maneuver, with an indignant declaration that he doesn't want anything for free, he manages to get his beefy front door shut. He returns looking like he had just done a heavy set of 10 reps. It was close. The kid almost had him. Arnold laughs. Too bad, you think. He misses a chance to add Disneyland to his other diversions like archery, fishing, hunting, horseback riding, and scuba diving. It was free, too. The phone rings again. It is Frank Zane. The subject is bodybuilding this time. You hear Arnold. It doesn't matter how the contest turned out. The write-up would have been the same anyway. That's what these write-ups are all about. One guy sees it one way, the next guy sees it another way. No one should really be concerned about losing or winning or leaving the field a winner. Look how many times Sergio lost. He's still a top name. Winning or losing doesn't mean anything to people. The Weider Show will be the 24th of May. I just figured out there will be $25,000 around in prize money for 1975. Right now, there are five top guys around. That averages $5,000 per guy. Whatever the outcome, it's worth it for any of them to try. It is an unimpeachable fact that Arnold is the best in his field today. Because of this, he has had the opportunity to mix with the cream in other fields. The same week that Arnold won the Mr. Olympia this year at a private party was held in his honor that covered a quarter of a page in the New York Times Society section. It's been an interesting life and a lot of fun so far, he says. Whatever your bag in life, if you are the best, you get recognition. Bodybuilding is no exception. Along with meeting prime ministers and movie stars and landing in the social register, Arnold also enjoys the hard currency advantages. He can sell 1,000 pictures at an exhibition anytime, as long as he autographs them in person. Famous restaurateurs will pick up his check. He can get a $100 knockdown on a suit from any tailor with a keen eye for business. A foreign food company will give him a car to endorse their product. His college teachers give him good grades just for being Arnold. He speaks of his close friend, Franco Colombo. They came from Europe together and trained together for years. They were both innocents in the big U.S. jungle and were inseparable for a time. Now they've both become the hunters. Franco is into chiropractic, Arnold into worldwide exploitation. Oddly, their training needs help separate them. I need more training than Franco, Arnold says affectionately. He can make it on 2 hours a day. I have to work out 4 hours a day, twice a day. Arnold draws the curtain with the recurring theme of hope for the bodybuilder. I think there's a lot in it for bodybuilders if they can get their heads on straight. They live in doubt. I say don't question too much the outcome of what you do. Rather, believe in a positive goal 100%. In that way, you are sure to realize it. Like a living icon among his art trophies, Arnold stands as proof incarnate, the truth of what he says. All right. That's that article from Ahmed Tani. That was very interesting because Arnold's talking, of course, about his future. He's talking about contest promotion. And, of course, in 1976, the year after he retired from bodybuilding, him and Jim Lorimer went into the contest promotion business, starting with that year's Mr. International and Mr. Olympia contest. And they are still promoting contests. This last weekend, Arnold was there with Jim Lorimer. Jim Lorimer is now 95, and him and Arnold have been promoting contests since 1976. Absolutely amazing. Thank God for Arnold. Thank God for Jim Lorimer. What a great addition to the sport. What a great – Arnold has done more for bodybuilding than just about anybody, let's be honest. So it was really enjoyable hearing him last weekend at the Arnold Classic, and love any chance we get to hear from Arnold. So like I said, if you guys get a chance, check that out at thearnoldsportsfestival.com. All right, guys, that's it for our show this week. Be careful out there. Train hard. Stay healthy. Enjoy your workouts. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care.